it's Friday the 22nd of March. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and I'll have a proper go at that punch bag once I've had a nice sit down. Welcome back to Papercuts, the modern newspaper review, where we give all our love and attention to the dark delights of the UK press. Because if we don't, who will? And thank you to everyone who has joined up to our Papercuts Supporters Club. We're hugely grateful for your support, especially as we know times are tough. And if you'd like to help us without spending any money at all, then why not send a text or a WhatsApp to three of your friends saying why you love Papercuts, along with a link to papercutsshow.co.uk. That's Papercuts Show with two S's in the middle. That's it. You can also tell them that they're really clever and good looking, just to be nice. And let's see if they subscribe. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. Getting shirty. England have a new kit for the Euros, but the fans don't like it. Jumbo jet set. Botswana threatens to send 10,000 elephants to the UK. We're excited. And down in one or scoopy scoopy. It's cream egg time, and the Telegraph has done a full in-depth investigation. Welcome to Papercuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Papercuts, where we spent the kids' inheritance on BBLs and scratch cards. Sorry. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is comedian and noted BAFTA nominee, is Gráinne Maguire. Hi, Gráinne.
I would like to thank the Academy and you both for being here with me this morning.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And making her debut on the show is Hits Radio presenter and host of Noted Podcast. It's Mary Manderfield. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm sad to have not a single BAFTA nomination to my name, but I'm working on it.
So what have we got on the front pages today? Mary, what do you have?
On the front of Telegraph, we've got sickness benefits bill to rise by a third.
Dear.
Guardian, US toughens stance to call for immediate Gaza ceasefire. And we've got a really horrifying photo of a mother with her triplets as she's fled a hospital in Gaza. With the Eye, we've got WASPI women demand help from Labour. And on the front of the Times, 1 million more people cite mental health battle, now the leading cause of working age disability.
Oh, lovely. Joy as ever from the broadsheet. What have you got, Gráinne?
So the Daily Mail, they are also covering the new betrayal of WASPI women, the story of the botched state pension plan. It also has a very wistful picture of Harry Kane just looking into the middle distance as they talk about the fury of Nike's change in the colours of St. George's Cross on the New England flag. And then a little headline: we're going to spend the kids' inheritance on luxury holidays and a £10,000 Chanel handbag. And they've got a lovely picture of a cheeky cocktail. That's, you just know by looking at a cocktail, that's a cheeky one. And a little Chanel handbag. So yeah. Congrats to all the boomers listening. You're all living your best life. Then the Daily Mirror, also covering with the pension story. Their big headline is pay them what they are owed. Millions born in 50s due compensation, but fears Tories will shortchange them. And then a lovely picture of some lions and lionesses who were rescued from a zoo in Ukraine. The Sun also covering the kit controversy. Again, Harry Kane, again, looking just very wistful.
I think it's just the same picture, isn't it?
surprise, looks wistful again.
Just wistful again, dreaming of better times.
Looks like he's looking at a window in a costume drama, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does, yeah.
Like waiting for that telegram. The headline is, Kit hits the fans.
Ah, I see.
And then the Daily Star, ugh.
Yeah. It's back to its best, isn't it, the Daily Star?
This is just vintage. Its main picture on the front page is a lovely big elephant. We need more elephants in the news.
You don't see enough of them in the British press.
We don't. You think, what's going on in the elephant world? Botswana threatens to send over 10,000 elephants to live in London's Hyde Park. The Daily Star says, bring it on. Headline is, Dumbos.
We love the Star. Okay, so look, shall we have a look at this WASPI story? Because when I first read it, I thought, WASPI? I really didn't know what it was. Mary, what is it about?
fun little acronym and a name, but the story's not so cheerful. So WASPI stands for Women Against State Pension Inequality. And this relates to the story of the state pension age increasing from 60 to 65 and then to 66. And this group of women who actually got together in 2015 to start this campaign saying they're owed money because it wasn't properly communicated. They've missed out on a lot of money and they didn't get to plan their working life and then their retirement. The problem is they're asking for quite a lot, about £10,000 each, which I don't know where that money's coming from. Yeah. And yesterday, the Parliamentary and Health Service Ombudsman said that women are owed compensation, but not very much. They said between £1,000 and £2,950 each, which, saying they've been campaigning about this since 2015,
yeah,
I don't know how well that will be received. And even if they did get the lowest amount, it would cost between 3.5 and 10.5 billion pounds. So the government is under no obligation to follow the recommendations.
That they're not going to do it then. These poor women. I think it's a bit rubbish.
And there's like a growing number of women that are kind of in this campaign. And what they're saying is, because it's like an aging group, these women are kind of dying before they get their compensation. They might never see it. It kind of follows a lot of, I guess, injustices that we've seen come to light, whether that's the post office scandal or Windrush. And I don't know if it maybe needs that same kind of attention brought to it for the government to kind of sit up and take note a little bit more.
Yeah, it just, in the end, it becomes like a lot of elderly women. And you just kind of think, will the government be that bothered about a lot of elderly women? And you kind of think they really might not.
I think just Toby Jones needs to step up.
Yeah.
He needs to step up, take up responsibility, ring up ITV, get that drama commissioned.
It's true. And he could actually maybe play one of the women and then move all right,
wouldn't
he?
He's got the range. He could do it.
Where's Sheridan Smith when you need her? We need her as a WASPI campaigner. One woman actually in the campaign group says, if we get around £3,000, she says, I've spent more than that on banners and train tickets to go to protest. So it's going to be a bit of a drop in the ocean. And then you've got stories of other women saying that they've taken on different jobs as a cleaner on an offshore oil rig. Other women have had to take painkillers to keep on working in roles that have been really physical. And a lot of women who, you know, their partners might have passed away and in their will, they weren't kind of planning for those years of missed pension payments. So yeah, there's a lot of unhappy women in that group and a lot
March
of money missing.
On government, the women. Come on, the WASPIs. That's what we say. Now, as we saw on the front of some of the papers, the England football team has got a lovely new kit for the Euros. It's made by Nike, and the new design was showcased yesterday just before England's Euros friendly against Brazil at Wembley on Saturday, which is when the England team will wear the kit for the first time. Oh, hooray! Gráinne, what does everyone think of England's new kit?
Well, people are losing their little minds.
People are so upset. So it's genuinely such a big story. It's the lead story for The Sun. It's definitely on the back pages, which I've never knowingly read in my life.
Yeah.
They're covering it there. The Daily Mail have 3 pages on the back.
Keir Starmer has said, this is what I'm going to have an opinion on. I'm ready. She's ready. I'm going to say something.
Okay, for context, all the tabloids, they've zoomed in on this
St. George.
St. George.
It's like, I don't know England.
Gráinne cares so little for it. It's some kind of cross, and it means something to the English.
All the newspapers, they've zoomed in on this English flag, and this will give you an idea of how small it is. In all the pictures, they've zoomed in so far, you can see the follicles on the back of the footballer's head. Yeah. You can see his hairline.
Yep.
You can see whether they have dandruff. That's how small this is. But for some reason, this has really ignited this huge, big anger from a lot of England fans that this is England gone woke and this is absolute nonsense and they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore. No, the very same people, by the way, who would accuse anybody else of being annoyed, of being a snowflake and not having a sense of humour, you change the colour gradient on the and a tiny flag on the just underneath the collar of an English shirt. Well, my God.
I know. It's so mad. It's literally, so it's on the back of the collar of the kit, right? Yeah. So it's not really the bit that you notice. And normally there's a kind of white flag with a red cross, and that is the cross of St. George. Mm-hmm. But they've changed the colour of the cross, and it's now multicoloured. It's navy blue and purple. And I think that all the England fans looked at it and thought, oh, it's something woke. Maybe it's trans.
It's colours.
Different colours, I'm not sure. But it's not even that. Nike chose the colours because... of 1966, can we just get bored a bit more, which was the year when England won the World Cup. Even I like football, I'm so bored of this, that was the colours are used with the colours on the 1966 training gear, right? Mm-hmm. That's the point. And they've lost their mind.
So it's a little nod to winning the World Cup. So maybe they're saying, let's try that again.
Yeah.
Let's give that one a go. I do think, you know, we're fussing about this shirt. When they're playing football, how much can you see that? They're so far away.
You'll be like, oh, I can't see. Who do I pass it to? I'm just confused.
Is it the pink cross, the purple cross? Like, it's
I'm
tiny.
Dazzled by those colours. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And you actually found out how much the shirts cost. I couldn't believe how expensive they are.
Yeah. Okay. So we looked it up. And the shirt. So if you wanted to buy one of these really shocking shirts, how much are they for adults?
Well, I actually would have guessed they were like 50 quid.
And they are
£124.99. No.
It's unbelievable. And that's just a shirt.
Yeah.
That's not, you don't get the shorts and the socks thrown in. The socks are 18 quid.
There must be cheaper ways of letting people know you've given up. Like, that is a lot of money to spend just to let people know you hate yourself.
So what are your thoughts on people wearing football shirts outside of a football game? Like, when they wear them just on a date or a night out?
It just makes me so sad. It's just, I don't know.
It's very 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Like, if you, like, that's just what they wear. It's completely fine. I think it's kind of adorable because they don't want to wear anything else. Mm. Whatever their team is, they just wear football. And even if they were kind of, it's a bit sad because even if they don't like football, they kind of feel like, oh, we better wear a football kit. That's what everybody wears. Then they just grow out of it.
They grow out of it. Mm. But do you think they think, well, hang on a sec, I'll wear my football kit to the football game because you never know what could happen. You know, somebody could come out here.
I'm on the sub bench.
Here I am. And I've actually covered up that terrible cross just so you can allow me on.
You know what this reminds me of? This is a bit of a side story. But so I remember in Ireland, after we voted in equal marriage, it just so happened that on the lane where my parents live, my dad had repainted a bench. And he said it was like a deep magenta. However, according to a lot of people on the road, it was a very aggressive pink. And then it all kicked off in the WhatsApp group about whether the new paint on the bench was a political statement or not. And my dad was so offended. He said it was magenta. I did not paint that bench pink.
Now, on the front page of The Star, under the absolutely delightful headline, Dumbos, is an absolutely delightful story about elephants. Mary, what is going on here?
You just don't hear this every day, do you? That Botswana have actually threatened to send over 10,000 elephants to live in none other than London's Hyde Park. And the Daily Star says, bring it on. They said, we'll definitely have them if you take Nigel Farage, 30p Lee and Biggles in return. They say, like, get rid of our politicians, give us the elephants, peace will be restored. This comes after MPs have proposed a ban on UK safari hunters importing things like elephant tusks and these kind of keepsakes that people get from trophy hunting. And I think we've kind of got it ingrained of like, that is bad. Leave the elephants alone, leave the wild animals alone. But in Botswana, they're saying these elephants are taking over. They sometimes have more elephants than people. So we've had their Botswanan wildlife minister, Dumezwani Timkulu, says, Britons, you try living with them. And like, if you're saying there's going to be this ban on trophy hunting, then we want to just give you our elephants so they can be your problem. They really are getting annoyed with them. They're saying they're eating the farmers' crops, they're terrorising the villages. And because they know of London's Hyde Park, they're like, a lot of tourists go there, a lot of people go there. So why don't you take the elephants?
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, it's just ideal, isn't it? I mean, the only problem is obviously transporting them there because I don't want them to have a bad time getting here. But climate change, it's a little hotter than it used to be. I mean, we don't have to have 10,000. We could just start off with like 10. Yeah. 10 in Hyde Park.
What a lovely attraction.
It would be so brilliant.
The Serpentine Lake washing themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I'm genuinely really, this is the front page story I can get behind. It's really good. And also I quite like the attitude of the Botswanan minister, which is just like, you try it then. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like, we've got a fish and we got it when the kids were little and basically, it's a constant kind of, you know, cause of argument between me and my husband about who cleans the fish out. And it's never the kids. The fish is called Sparkle Heart Rose.
Yeah.
Like, so you can get definitely kid it was kids that got it. They never do anything for the fish. They don't feed it. They don't clean it. Nothing. And this is exactly like the Botswana minister. He's like, you don't do anything for these elephants. Yeah. You want them to be there when you come over. You take them.
That's so true. And Botswana's really known for its like gorgeous wildlife. And, you know, we're there being like, wow, look at these amazing animals. And they're like, oh, God, they're a real pain in the arse.
You're missing the main picture here.
Go on.
Guess who's headlining Hyde Park this summer? Kylie Minogue.
Oh, my God, Kylie Minogue.
Arriving on an elephant.
Kylie arriving on an elephant.
It's ideal. Oh, well, that's it. I'm sold. Now, at Papercuts, we're here for a historic headline. We're even here for a non-historic one, as long as it's puntastical and it makes us laugh. We love headlines so much that we've created a fabulous competition based around their joy. Yes, it's time for this week's Fix the Headline. This is where we find a fun story with an unfun headline, and we ask you, our excellent Papercuts listeners, to think up a better one. And this week, we found one in the Daily Star. This is about a couple who got very scared when CCTV appeared to show a ghost trying to steal their Audi TT worth 40k. The Star's headline, the frankly yawnsome ghost tried to steal our car. Oh, that is lame. What an opportunity missed. If you think you can do better, and you definitely can, then send your idea to @PaperCutsShow on Threads or X with the hashtag FixTheHeadline. The winner gets a Papercuts t-shirt. Now, what about today? Have we got any good headlines? Gráinne, what have you got?
The Star, once again, just are having... They just give yourselves the day off. It's just an incredible achievement. So they have a story that the Happy Mondays star Bez, so keep that in mind, he's in Happy Mondays, needed to hitch a lift to his gig after he had problems with his car. Headline is Happy Thumb Days.
That's good. I'm happy with that one. It's just the word thumb is funny anyway. Yeah.
Then they also in the Star, obviously, they've a fabulous, gorgeous picture of Beyonce looking smoking hot as she dons a red, white and blue sash to promote her new album. Headline is, Bey is Sasha Fierce.
A sash.
Oh, because she's wearing a sash.
Sash.
I was like, yeah, she is. My brain was like, yeah, she is Sasha Fierce.
That is her alter ego.
But it's because she's got a sash. She's got a sash on.
Okay, that's good.
Then they have the news that Paul Hollywood said Taylor Swift could go in the Great British Bake Off tent. Which, I mean, great news for Taylor. Yeah.
She's like, finally, that's my one chance at success.
Yeah, I could get a handshake from Paul Hollywood and then I will have made it. And the headline is Great British Take Off.
Oh, but everything about that's rubbish. So, Mary, you've got the Sun, right?
Yes, in the Sun, we have got a dating story. So, Downton Abbey star Hugh Bonneville has joined the celebrity dating app Raya, despite a fledgling romance with a Canadian actress. And the headline is, do Hugh want to go out with me?
Answer, no.
No, thank you. Nice big picture there of what his app profile looks like.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay. And then we've got some pictures here of Queen Camilla doing the rounds, petting a dog in Belfast. So the Queen, the King is doing well.
Tough day. She had to go pet a dog in Belfast. They work so hard.
The grind continues. But there was a very cute little boy in a tuxedo, a little toddler. Because they're at the Guinness factory, the headline is Princess of Ales.
It's a stout. Guinness is a stout.
Yeah, it doesn't work on a level. She's the queen, not a princess.
I'm lost.
Yeah. They've tried, but it didn't work.
The little boy in the tuxedo is cute, but yeah, I'm not rating the headline.
No.
I'm Roz Taylor with news of Oh God, What Now? The politics podcast that's never going to leave its voter ID at home. On Friday's show, it's 6 months until the US election and Donald Trump is stuck sitting on trial in a New York courthouse. Is he bulletproof or can Joe Biden turn around the polls? In the second half, it's local elections week, but we've steadily taken power away from local authorities. What if we gave it back? And in the extra bit for supporters, is there a right level of ruthlessness in politics? That's Oh God, What Now? With me, Roz Taylor, Raphael Baer, Hannah Fern, guest Nikki McCann Ramirez, out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, in the Telegraph Online, there is an impressively detailed piece about cream eggs. It's coming up to Easter. They've gone in extremely hard with their research. Gráinne, what's in there?
Well, cream eggs, we've all got an opinion on them.
Which we found out this morning. Yeah.
And the Telegraph, this sort of comes on the back of their big biscuit deep dive.
Yeah, they've got a lot better at the deep dive of kind of things that matter, I think. The top 10 of biscuits, and now they've got, well, they haven't got top 10 of cream eggs here. They've got 7 different versions, but, you know, they've done well.
So they've tackled the story that, you know, divides countries, relationships and homes across this country. Are you a fan of Cadbury's cream eggs or not? It's a controversial confectionery. Mm. And they've got two writers with very opposing opinions on it. One loves a cream egg. One does not like a cream egg. And it's sort of kicking off the great Easter debate of how, what, not just how you eat yours, but whether you want to eat one in the first place. Mm. Some facts about Cadbury's cream eggs. Each one has 177 calories, 26 grams of sugar per egg.
That's impressive. That's like they've just stood there and just like poured in the sugar bowl, aren't they?
I see them as like chocolate grenades. That's what they are. You basically do one and that's it. I'm zooping. I'm off my mind for the day. But then there's a debate about whether people like Cadbury's cream eggs. It is actually controversial because Cadbury's cream eggs, it used to be like a treat, didn't it? It was like the 2 weeks. It was like before Easter. It was like, Easter is here. You can get a Cadbury's cream egg.
They're back in shops.
Yeah.
It means Easter's coming. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now... You could buy one in July if you wanted.
You can. There's even a kind of Halloween version of them, isn't there?
Halloween ones,
it's, yeah. It's very, yeah, it's very good. They have other cream eggs on offer, which they've done. They have done, you know, not quite a top 10, but, you know, pretty good. They've got white chocolate ones. I mean, I feel like we should have a vote in the studio.
Yeah,
to start off with, yet. Right. Okay, who likes cream eggs? I like a cream egg.
I like a cream egg.
Ooh, Mary.
I like a cream egg. But I'm that insufferable person. I've been vegan for like 7
There's
years.
There's a vegan version.
Is there?
Yes, yeah. It's in the list. Oh, I'm so happy.
I didn't even...
Yes.
Which one's vegan?
Okay, so not these ones, Tony's. But I'm going to get to it. So white chocolate cream eggs, no, are awful.
Yeah.
Oreo eggs, no. Okay, Cadbury caramel eggs.
They're nice.
Are they? Okay, we've got one vote.
I'm in the headspace of I eat them.
Okay. Reese's peanut eggs. Terrible, terrible,
America,
terrible.
America, come on.
Yeah.
American chocolate.
Revolting.
Nice.
Okay, these are the vegan ones.
The Mummy Megs.
Mummy Megs Chucky Eggs.
Wow.
So there you go.
I will be reaching out to Mummy Megs for some kind of collaboration.
Exactly.
I would like to try that. Yeah. I do think like these, it's more the context, I think, of an egg. Of like, if you were going and having this every day, no, they're sickly, they're sweet, too much. But if it's like, oh, we've gone... doing the Easter egg hunt with the kids and then someone runs over and they've got a little egg for you. You're like, oh, that is nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
but yeah, we don't need them year round.
No, definitely not year round. And also I have a feeling that the person who doesn't like, although I did think, you know, the two journalists that had to write pro and anti cream eggs, I thought it was a bit like, you know, when you got detention and you had to write 500 words or about the inside of a ping pong ball. It's a bit like that, isn't it? Having to write kind of like 800 words on whether you like cream eggs or not. It's very homework.
So much you can say.
But we all had an age where we discovered this. It's the first time I think you experience real disappointment as a child when you realise that a Cadbury's cream egg, big egg, was not filled with fondant. And you got, oh, it's just like another egg. Yeah. I think that's a core trauma memory for generations.
I agree. It's like a kind of shift where you realise that childhood isn't as beautiful as you'd hoped. It really isn't. So they've got another bit about cream eggs, which gives you kind of information about it. Originally, it was a Fry's cream egg, and it was designed in 1963. Then Fry's was bought by Cadbury's, fine. But this is an amazing stat. They changed the chocolate in 2015 from dairy milk on the outside to, quote, standard cocoa mixed chocolate. Mm. And they reduced the size of the egg and they reduced the amount you got in a box from 6 to 5. And they lost £6 million in cream egg sales that year.
Shrinkflation, so, but it's not working out well.
People really care.
And did they change the chocolate back?
I don't know that they have.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This used to be a country.
Yeah.
With a St. George's flag on the England shirt. Yeah.
They stumped it with St. George, it would have been fine. That's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Mary.
Thanks for having me. It was a blast.
It was. And thanks to Gráinne.
Thank you.
Remember, if you fancy listening to the show ad-free and with a special extra story at the end, then why not join the Papercut Supporters Club? The link is in the show notes. And of course, our most excellent Papercut supporters get a shout out on the show. Mary, who have you got?
Hello, and thank you so much to Camilla Brisker.
Dia Gwich and Gaurav Mila Mohagoth to Robert Clapham.
Hi, and you'll be reet to John Lane. I've been Miranda Sawyer and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when the NHS when the NHS has said that marrying your cousin is no different to women giving birth after 30 because both are risky. Hmm. A shocking statement, though we wouldn't advise having 31 kids anyway.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer, with Gráinne Maguire and Mary Manderfield. It was produced by Liam Tate, audio production by Robin Lieban, video production by Chris Jones, with music by Simon Williams, design by Jim Parrott, and original art by Modern Toss. The managing editor is Jacob Jarvis, group editor Andrew Harrison, and executive producer Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.